business. Grove Baptist. I know some of your favorite players or favorite teams or favorite teachers, and if you'll work at listening hard and you do your best listening well, I assure you he'll be one of your favorite preachers too. So if you'll do that, we're going to ask Brother Fletcher to come at this time and to share the Word of God.
Bless you. Well, it's a joy to be here tonight. I thank you for allowing me this opportunity, and I trust that the Lord will bless us tonight here in the service. I appreciate the services thus far. Good to see all these young people here tonight. I'm glad to be considered anybody's favorite, one favorite of anything. But I appreciate that kind word, preacher, and I thank the Lord. In my own life, there's some men of God that have been favorites of mine down through the year that God has knit my heart to, and I trust that you will feel that way when you leave tonight. One of the greatest things is try to reach young people as a preacher, and I had preached a message years ago. I was up in near Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and I'd been preaching that night, and I forget what I preached. And anyway, I preach a lot of illustrative-type things, and a lot of times it'll capture the minds of younger people and kids. And after the service, people were lined up shaking hands with me, and I saw this kid. He looked like he's about 12, 13 years old. He stood in line and waited till he got to me. And that night, that kid, when he got to me to be able to shake hands, all he did was stick out his hand with a broad smile, and he shook my hand. He said, "You're a cool preacher." And that was the greatest compliment, one of the greatest compliments I've ever had, that I connected with that kid in such a way that he felt like I was a cool preacher. And I hope you'll feel that way tonight after the service. Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1, and I'm going to read two verses tonight from the Word of God, and I'll give you the thought for the message tonight. Genesis chapter 1. Let's stand as we read God's Word tonight for just a moment. Genesis chapter number 1 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." Father, we thank you for the reading of your word. And I pray, God, that you'd help us now for just a few minutes in this place, that we might bring a message that would connect with the hearts of those that are here. Lord, there's somebody here tonight that's not saved. I pray you'd speak to their heart in the service tonight. And Father, we're going to give you praise and honor and glory for all you do, for it's in the name of Jesus we pray and we ask it. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated tonight. Two verses from the Word of God. The Bible begins in the Word of God and says this: "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth." I don't have any problem believing that verse. If you have a problem believing it, you'll probably have a problem believing the rest of the book as well. But I have no problem in believing that God spoke everything that we know and we see into existence. God created the heavens and the earth. But I'm interested in verse 2, and the Bible said, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep." And I want you to notice this. The Bible said, "And the Spirit of God moved." We're two verses into the creation of everything that we see, and all of a sudden, the Spirit of God is introduced into the conversation. And the Bible said the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. When you think about that, if you think about the Spirit of God moving, here in the act of creation, in the act of bringing to be everything that we know and everything we see, we find God's Spirit involved in it. I'm glad it moved then and it's not stopped moving today. As I began to think about that, I studied that a little bit. I began to think that the principle of first mention in the Bible is important. And here is the first mention in the Word of God of the Spirit of God moving. If you're really interested in that principle, if you want to find the first place that the Spirit of God is mentioned in the New Testament. You'll find it at the scene where John is baptizing Jesus in the Jordan River. And the Bible said that the Spirit of God descended in the form of a dove. That's the first mention in the New Testament of the Spirit of God. And it came down in the form of a dove and lighted upon him. And of course, we know that God said, "This is my Son whom I'm well pleased." But here in this verse, I looked at that word moved, and I looked at that word and I traced it back to a word that it comes from, a word called rachaph. And it means simply this, to brood over. When I looked at that word for brood, I understood the implication of that. Have you ever heard somebody talk about an old brood hen, or when that mother hen goes to setting on eggs to bring them, to bring about new life? That's what they call brooding over. That's what I thought. That was very interesting that that word moved here holds the implication of a fowl that would hover over her eggs to bring forth life. And in the New Testament, the fowl that represents the Spirit is the dove that descended upon our Savior. I began to think about that, on how many times the Spirit of God here in this story of the creation of everything we know, we see that the Spirit of God began to hover over a place that was without form and void. There wasn't nothing like it is today. There wasn't any trees. There wasn't anything. It's just a mess. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of God started hovering over it. And the Spirit of God started brooding over it. And the next thing you know, there came life out of void. A place that was void, there was life that came forth. Out of a place where there was nothing but darkness, suddenly came light. When the Spirit of God began to move. When you think about all that God did in the act of creation, He used His Spirit to move upon this place. I begin to think about that. That's just exactly the way God does with a sinner. Our life is nothing but a mess without form and void. And then all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost starts brooding over. The Holy Ghost starts coming to where we are and begins working on us. And He's doing that to bring forth life in us. I began to think about that. I'm preaching on the subject tonight. I wish I'd have brought me some eggs with me tonight. I need me a nest with some eggs in it for this message. But I'm preaching on this subject tonight, on the brooding of the Spirit when God cracks a sinner's shell. Boy, I'll tell you one thing right now. I've seen a lot of eggs in my time, and some eggs get cracked, some get hard-boiled, and some get scrambled. There's a lot of lives just like that. You'll either get saved when the Spirit of God begins to work on you, or you'll end up hard-boiled and you won't listen to God. You could end up with your life a scrambled mess simply because you would not heed to the Word of God and the Spirit of God. But I'm glad that God is still using His Spirit to speak to hearts today and to draw men, women, and boys unto salvation. Hallelujah to His name. When I think about the Spirit of God, I see the work that He does when He broods over a lost sinner, when He is drawing a sinner unto Him. And I thought about this, the work of the Holy Spirit in that. First of all, I see the silence of the brooding. You ever seen you may not be where you've ever been around country folks that's had chickens, and my granny, when I was just little, they used to keep chickens in a hen house, and I'd go down there as a little boy, and she'd always go in there, and I'd go help her gather the eggs. She'd say, "Come and help me gather the eggs," and some of you older folks have probably done that, and it was always interesting because sometimes all the hens would be off the nest. They'd be out in the barnyard just having a good time eating whatever. But all of a sudden, you'd run up on one nest and there was a hen still sitting there. And she hadn't left the nest. She had took a notion that she wanted to set on those eggs. And so that was always an interesting proposition when you approached that little hen that's on them eggs. She didn't like it when you got near her. She did not like it when you wanted to get the eggs, because she had already settled in there to set on those eggs. I got to thinking about that, but you know, many times while the barnyard's filled with excitement and, man, everything, there's a lot of noises going on. In here's a little hen. She's not making a sound, but she's doing the work. She's setting on them eggs, and nobody knows she's doing it, but the fact of the matter is she is accomplishing what she desires to do. I got news for you. The work of the Holy Spirit many times is a silent work. Sometimes we get frustrated. We say, I can't see God doing anything with my loved one that I've prayed for. I can't tell that anything's happening. And all the while, what we don't realize is the Holy Spirit sometimes operates in a silent work. You may not see it taking place, and you may not see an indication of it, but just because you don't see it don't mean it ain't happening. Amen. I'm glad the Holy Spirit can work, and His work many times is a silent work. I'll never forget, as a little boy, she told me one day, she said, come with me. She said, one of those little hens has stole off somewhere and has made her a nest. She's wanting to set, and I don't want her to, is what she said. And she said, help me find that hen. Well, I'm just a young boy, and I'm out there with my granny. We're walking through some high grass, and I'm looking around. I don't see nothing. And all of a sudden, my granny looked at me, and she said, shh. And I looked at her, and she pointed, and standing right where I was standing in the grass right next to me, sat that little hen. She had wallowed out a nest in the grass, and she was sitting there, and I was standing right on top of her and didn't even know she was there. She was doing her work. And can I say to you, the work of the Holy Spirit, He may be working on the person next to you and you don't even know it. Amen. He could be working right now in somebody's life and you can't see it, because let me tell you something, there is a silent work of the Holy Ghost. I've seen people, and there's times you see God working on someone and you know God's working on them. But boy, I'm telling you one thing right now. There's a lot of people tonight, those who are praying for them say, I can't see God doing nothing. No, but you're not there at night when the Holy Ghost builds a pulpit at the end of the bed, and the sheets are too short and the covers are not wide enough and they can't get any joy everywhere they go. Sitting somewhere tonight on a bar stool while the jukebox is playing, everybody's enjoying it, but there's maybe an old boy that's sitting there and the silent work of the Holy Ghost is taking place in his heart and life. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for the moving of the Holy Spirit of God? Amen. There's the silence of the brooding. And then number two, there's the settling of the brooding. Those little hens, when they take a notion to set, we call them a setting hen. That's a strong urge they have to go set on that nest. And the reason they set on those eggs is they're trying to bring forth new life. There is a purpose and there's a goal. And when that hen decides she's going to set, you might pull her off the nest for a little while, but she'll go right back to it the first opportunity she has. I've seen people and the Holy Ghost would start settling in trying to bring them to salvation, and they'd shrug it off. They say, if I could just get out of this church service, if I could just get away from these church people, I'll shrug it off and I'll throw it off. And you might do that for a little while, but I promise you this, the Holy Ghost knows where you're at. You might shrug Him off for a little while, but He'll be right back. Amen. I'm glad there's a God that when He settles in, He wants to do a work in your life. You realize He can settle in unusual places. I was home several years ago. It was late one night, and my phone rang, and it was a member of our church, a man in our church, and he had a young daughter. I guess she was probably in grade school at that time. And when I got the phone call, it was about 8 o'clock at night, and he said, preacher, I hate to bother you this late, but said, and he called his daughter's name, said, she's needing to talk to somebody. Could I bring her up to the house so you could talk to her? And I said, yeah, sure, bring her up here. And she was troubled and needing to be saved. And after they got up there that night, I talked to her. She was under conviction, and she got saved that night right there in my living room floor. But then he told me the rest of the story. He said, "Preacher, I hated to call you because it took us a while to get here, but they had been at Walmart. They were at Walmart. It was almost time to go back to school, and they were buying school supplies. They were looking for book bags." And he said, "We were walking down the aisle in Walmart, and said, I noticed she was lagging behind us on the book bag aisle. And we're looking over book bags, and all of a sudden I turn around and I look, and there stands my daughter on the aisle of Walmart, and she's weeping. Tears are streaming down her cheeks." And he said, it shocked me. I said, "What in the world's wrong with you? What's wrong?" And this young girl looked at him. She said, "I'm lost, and I'm afraid I'm going to go to hell, and I need to be saved." I'm talking about in Walmart. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost can settle in on you, and he can follow you to Walmart. I'm glad he can go wherever you're at tonight. If God's wanting you saved, hallelujah, thank God. Aren't you glad he didn't give up on you? Aren't you glad that when you shrugged him off, he didn't say, "That's enough, I've had enough of him"? But I'm glad he came right back. I'm glad he came in love and mercy, and he drew me to him, hallelujah, and he saved me by his grace, amen. There's the settling aspect of the brooding. That little hen settles in there. You might pull her off for a little while, but she'll be right back. And then there's the number three aspect of the Holy Spirit. There's the softening aspect of the Spirit. That little hen, when she sits on that nest of eggs, there's a process that starts taking place called incubation. In layman's terms, the heat gets turned up. Amen. Some of y'all get that after a while. She turns up the heat on those eggs. And boy, there's a process that starts there. And pretty soon, ain't going to be long, there's going to be some little chicks running around. I got news for you. I'm glad God can still turn up the heat. Hallelujah. He can soften your heart. Hallelujah to his name. Here a while back, up there at the church, we had I had baptized a man on Sunday morning, or a daughter, his daughter rather, on Sunday morning. I baptized another young man, and they'd been saved a couple of Sundays before, and I had finished up the baptismal service that day. I was changing my clothes, getting out of the wet clothes. We'd been out there in the creek, and I was there in the church. I thought everybody had left the church. Everybody was gone. It was about 12:15, 12:30 on Sunday. High noon, sunshining day, traffic passing by the church. And all of a sudden, when I came out and got in my truck, there's a young man in our church. He came around behind the church where I was at and said, "Hey, preacher, could you come out here and talk to Kenneth?" Well, Kenneth was the father of this young lady I just baptized that day. She had got saved by the grace of God. And I said, "Where is he at?" Said, "He's around here out front, in front of the church here." And I drove around through there, and I saw a pickup truck sitting there, and I saw another car. I saw a couple of the family members just standing there in the grass just talking, and I couldn't see Kenneth. So I pulled my truck up to where I could see, and I got out. When I did, I looked, and he was down on his knees in the grass in front of his Chevrolet pickup with his head on the bumper, weeping like a baby. He'd done made an altar out of a Chevy truck bumper. He was weeping like a baby. I'm talking about big strapping guy. I'm talking about bigger than I am. And he's crying like a baby. I mean, broad daylight, everybody passing by. And here's a grown man so broken, he's done got his head laid on a bumper of a Chevy truck needing something from God. I slid in beside him. I said, "Boy, what's wrong with you?" I knew that family had been facing some adversity, and his grandmother had been very sick, and I knew but she was a godly lady. And I told him, I said, "Son, I know you're heavy-hearted over your grandma." I said, "She's a godly lady." I said, "She's got a better place to go if God chooses to take her home." And this is what he said. He said, "I know that, preacher." He said, "But if she dies," he said, "I'll never get to see her again." I looked at him. I said, "You know it don't have to be that way, don't you?" And I said, "Son," I said, "you ain't never been saved." He said, "I ain't never been saved." I said, well, son, let me ask you a couple of questions. I said, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary for your sins, paid the sin debt for the whole world? He's weeping. He said, I believe that with all my heart. I said, do you believe he got up on the third day, resurrected in power? Hallelujah. He said, I believe that with all my heart. I said, well, if you believe that, then you're going to have to believe the verse where it says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I said, you want to be saved? He said, I'd love to be. And right there on the altar of the Chevy truck bumper, that old boy got saved by the grace of Almighty God. I got news for you. When the heat gets turned up, you won't care where you're at. You won't care who's looking, amen. You'll just come to know Jesus as your Savior, amen. Several years ago, many years ago now, there at the church, I had a man that had invited his neighbor to come to church, and he was an older gentleman who had never been in church. He was a hard old gentleman and had a bad mouth and everything, and this fellow told me, said, now, preacher, I've invited my neighbor. He said, he's a hard old man, and I don't know he's liable to say anything. But I invited him to come to church. I said, well, we'll be glad to have him. His name was Mr. Barnes. He came in the first Sunday. I greeted him. I said, hello, Mr. Barnes. It's good to have you. He didn't say much. He went to his seat and sat down. While I preached, I watched him, and he sat back there stone-faced. There wasn't any emotion whatsoever. Just looked like he was angry at the world. Just sat there in the pew, and I thought, well, God, you ain't doing nothing with him. And I went back and shook hands as they were leaving that day. I said, Mr. Barnes, thank you for coming. I'd like to have you come back if you would. And he just kind of, well, I'll think about it. He came back the next Sunday, and he was same thing. He sat back there and just no emotion whatsoever. And man, I couldn't tell if God's doing anything. And I shook hands with him as he's going out. I said, Mr. Barnes, good to have you again. I said, come back and be with us. He said, well, he said, I might have some things I need to talk to you about sometime. And I said, well, I'd be happy to anytime. He said, I'll let you know. I'll let you know. I thought, okay, you let me know. And he went out and never said any more. It was a couple of Sundays after that, he was still coming, and he was sitting over there. I couldn't tell. God was doing nothing with the old fella. And I was preaching that Sunday on Noah and the Ark. And the title of my message was that day, The Tragedy of Missing the Boat. I said, there's a lot of people in Noah's day that missed the boat. And I said, there's a lot of lost people going to miss the boat one of these days. It's pulling out of here. And I was preaching. I was about three quarters of the way through the message like I am right now. Wasn't given an invitation or nothing. I'm just preaching like I am right now. And all of a sudden I looked, the building was filled that day. I looked and Mr. Barnes got up and started walking toward the front of the church. And he walked all the way around. Here I am preaching. I'm just trying to keep my focus where it needs to be. I'm preaching. All of a sudden, this old gentleman, he's in his 70s, came walking right up to where I was in front of that whole crowd. And I just stopped preaching. I looked at him and said, Mr. Barnes, I said, what is it? What's wrong? And out loud, he stood there with tears in his eyes. He said, Brother Leonard, I need to be saved. I said, well, hallelujah, you've come to the right place. My little old daddy was sitting on the front row. I said, Dad, show Mr. Barnes how to be saved. And I just kept preaching, praise God. My daddy got down with that old gentleman. My daddy's in heaven now. And my daddy got down and said, Mr. Barnes, the Bible said that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Mr. Barnes says, I know, I've been a bad sinner. He said, I've been a bad one. My dad said, but the Lord said if you'd call on him, though, he'd forgive you. And he said, now, Mr. Barnes, I can't pray for you, but I'll tell you what, you just tell the Lord the best you can. Just tell him what you need. And that little old man, he didn't know nothing about praying. He got down on his knees, his hands and knees, and he put his hands together like a little old youngin' would have. You could hear him praying, oh, Lord, I've been a bad old man. I've been a bad sinner. But, Lord, if you'll have me, I'd like to have you, praise God. And that old man got saved that day. I'm talking about he got a good dose of sky blue salvation, praise God. He got the goods, hallelujah, to his name. Made one of the best shouters in our church. Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. It happened because the Holy Ghost settled in on him and softened a hard heart. I don't care how hard their heart is. I don't care care how far they've gone. I'm glad there's a God who His Spirit, listen, if the Spirit of God can bring what we see today out of nothing that was without form and void, you better believe He can take your mess of a life and turn it into something beautiful. Hallelujah to His name. There's the settling of the brooding. There's the softening of the brooding. And then this, I like this, the aspect of the Holy Spirit, the safety of the brooding. Ever since I've been saved, the Holy Spirit has been watching over me. He guides me. He teaches me. But it'll blow your mind when you get to thinking about how He was watching over you even before you got saved. Some of y'all, before you were saved, you was out there in the world. Some of the things you got into, you should have been dead and in hell tonight. But even in your ignorance and even in your willful disobedience against God, a holy God was hovering over you. When the state trooper says, I don't know how anybody came out of that wreck alive, I'll tell you how. The Holy Ghost was watching over. I heard a story here a while back. A man told this story, said it actually happened. Said an older gentleman had a barn that burned down. The barn caught fire and burned down. And said the gentleman was, the next day after the embers had died down enough, or a couple days after it had cooled off enough, he was walking through the rubble trying to find if there's anything salvageable. Some of it, he'd had equipment and things and tools and just wanted to see if anything had survived. And said as he was walking through the smoldering rubble of that old barn that had burned down, he looked. And there was a little hen that had had a nest in the barn, and the little hen was still sitting on the nest that where the barn had burned down, and the hen was dead. It hadn't left the nest. It had stayed right there. And he said that was so amazing to me that hen had sat right there, and the flames and had just killed it. And he said, I got curious about it, and said, I walked over, and I took my foot, and I just flipped the body of that dead body, that old mother hen, off the nest to see what had happened to the eggs. And he said, when I flipped her body over, said, there's two little chicks run out from underneath her. Boy, I got to thinking about that. You think about what's keeping us from the fire tonight is we've been sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Praise His holy name. I'm glad He's watching over us tonight. There's a lot of days I'm a-traveling the roads, and I'll come through. Here a while back, I was in a meeting up in West Virginia, and I was coming back on Interstate 81 late at night. It was a horrible storm that night, and I was just trying my best to get back home, and traffic was really heavy that night. And all of a sudden, here I'm driving down I-81, and I can't hardly see. And all of a sudden, I look, and there's been an accident right in the middle of the interstate, and there's a car sitting in the middle of the two lanes with no lights on it. It had just been hit. And I swerved, and I missed it. And as I got through it, I said, Lord, You kept me from hitting that car. And as I went on down, there was another car that was the same way with the lights off on it. And I said, it was a miracle of God that I came through that. I'm going to tell you something right now. I just said, Lord, thank You for watching over me. I said, I don't know how them people are back there, but I said, I want You to help them. Can I say to you, the Lord is watching over us, and I'm glad for the safety of the brooding of His Spirit. Hallelujah to His name. Oh, yeah, I thought about that. Not only is there the silence of His brooding, there's the settling of the brooding, there's the softening, the safety, and then there's the surprise of the brooding. That little chick, when it gets hatched out, now I don't know what y'all call them down here. They call them biddies in a lot of places. What y'all call them? Biddies? We call them diddles. Anybody ever heard them called diddles? Anybody? No, I'm a little too far south for them to be called diddles. Now, up in our country, they're called diddles. They call them biddies. I know in Georgia some. And one fellow said they called them doodles. I never heard them called doodles. I've heard them called diddles and biddies. Of course, we call them chicks. But I thought about that when you're thinking about that. That little chick, he's in the egg. And he's like a sinner. He's in his own little world. And he don't realize there is anything else. That's the way sinners are today. They're wrapped up in their own little world. their little network of friends, and to them that's all there is to life, just what they know in their little realm, kind of like that little chick that's in the egg. And then all of a sudden that mama hen sets on them eggs, and next thing you know the heat gets turned up, and next thing you know that little chick gets uncomfortable in its environment, and it starts trying to peck its way out, and all of a sudden there's a crack in the egg. And the next thing you know, there's a hole big enough, and that little chick sticks its head out of that little environment it's been in, and it sees a whole brand new world that it didn't know even existed. Amen. You remember when you got saved, you was in your own little world, man. You didn't know there's anything else. And when you got saved by the grace of God, you opened your eyes, looked around, and said, wow, I didn't know all this existed. I didn't know God had all this for me. Amen. I'm glad, praise God, there's a God that His Spirit, amen, the surprise of a sinner when he gets saved. And you thought you had friends, but boy, you found some real friends after you got saved. You found some that'd be with you through hard times. You found some that would love you. And matter of fact, since I've been saved, I go places. And before I came down here this week, I had met your pastor, and I'd maybe met, I don't know if I'd met anybody else here besides the pastor. But coming down here, I knew that I was coming among family. I said, I don't know their names, but they're my brothers and sisters in Christ. And they're part of my family. That's that big family God's given us. And just a few days I've been down here, and I feel like I've known you all my life. Now, how does that happen? The Holy Spirit's how it happens. When folks get up to sing, I've never heard sing, and all of a sudden the Holy Ghost goes to turning over in my heart. I said, hallelujah, thank God for the moving of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen, there is the surprise. And then finally, there's the satisfaction of the brooding. That little mama, after she hatches them eggs out and them little chicks are out there, they'll be out there in the barnyard just having the best time. And all of a sudden, it's about time to go back to the hen house. And mama will go to clucking a little bit, and the next thing you know, them little diddles just line right up behind her and follow her right back into the hen house. That's about the way some of y'all did this evening about 5 o'clock. You got to looking at the clock and said, you know, I believe it's about time to go to church. And all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost just brought you right in here and filled these pews up tonight. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for the moving of the Holy Spirit? When God cracks a sinner's shell, I'm sure glad for the day that He settled in on my life. He brought me to the place and the point that I would receive Him and that I'd be saved. He's been guiding my life ever since. Me and the preacher were talking before the service tonight about how the Holy Spirit has just had everything in place in our life. There's been a lot of times I've missed the Spirit. I didn't listen to it when I ought to. And I've always regretted that. But boy, I'm telling you what, I don't regret the day that the Holy Spirit came to where I was. When I was just a 9-year-old boy, settled in on me, I got more than just afraid of going to hell. I got to wanting something greater than what I could get for myself. And I'm glad God saved me that night. I wish I could tell you I've always been what I should have been for Him, but I've not been. But He's been everything He said He'd be and a whole lot more. When God cracks a sinner's shell, you may be praying for somebody you love tonight, maybe a son or a daughter, maybe a grandchild. You say, I can't tell that anything's happening. Oh, you're discounting the silent work of the Holy Spirit. It could be they'll be on the book bag aisle of Walmart when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of them. It could be they'll be sitting in the church pew. Could be that Wednesday night Awana that the Holy Ghost settles in. But I'm glad God's doing it that He might see them saved. Father, thank You for what You've done. I pray, God, that You'd help us tonight in this message. And, Lord, I pray help our hearts to receive what You've given us tonight. Lord, I thank You for Your Spirit of how it's helped us. And Lord, I even thank You for the days, God, that You've turned up the heat. Lord, You've made me uncomfortable in my environment where I was at, God, to get me where I needed to be. And Father, I beg You now that You'd speak to the hearts of this people. Lord, if there's one here tonight that's not saved, I pray would You speak to them. Maybe a young person here, God, that has never been born again. I pray that, God, You'd speak to them tonight. Lord, whatever the need, I pray, according to Your mercy and grace, would You accomplish it here tonight. And Father, we'll give you praise.